Shall we pray?
Precious Father in heaven, God, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for having allowed us to cross over into the new year. And also want to thank you for your Sabbath. I pray that, Heavenly Father, you may accept our worship this morning. For this we pray in Jesus' name.
Good morning, church.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Amen.
We thank God that you have come to his house. This is his house of worship. We also thank God that he has allowed us to cross over. We are now in 2018 and we are back to worship after some confusion. And we are praying that this confusion does not continue. Amen, church. The confusion of Korea. I want to thank the choir for that wonderful song. Clearly, there are a lot of things that are happening right now in the world. We hear of disasters in many places, incurable diseases in many places, partial droughts and food droughts in many places. And there are so many earthquakes, rumors of wars. There is general degradation of morality. There is corruption throughout the nations. And that song clearly shows us that we need to make our things right with our God, because the coming King is at the door. Amen, church. Today I've decided to talk on a subject entitled Prepare to Meet Your God. Avondale Church, we have a message to be preached. We have a message to be preached within this church. We have a message to be preached outside of this church. We have the message to preach to the world. Our message is not the one of peace and safety. Because if you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape." So we have a message, and this message is not to make everyone feel happy. This is not a message to talk to the members. This is not a message intended to always comforting you. It's okay, my sister. It's okay, my brother. You can compromise here and there. God will understand. Because if we are going to have that kind of a message, the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3 warns us. If we are going to be always telling you, no, it's okay, you can sin, God will understand anyway. Or it's okay, you can eat as you wish, God will understand anyway. Or it's okay, you can dress as you wish, God will understand anyway. Or when we are going to say, it's okay, you can drink anything, God will understand. If I will abuse the pulpit to speak that kind of a message, there is a warning in 1 Thessalonians. That kind of a message will lead to sudden destruction. And that sudden destruction, none of us are going to escape. Amen, church? And so because our message is not to make you happy, it's not to entertain you. By the way, if you are a preacher and you're going to stand here to entertain members, to entertain people, I want to warn you that you should not be here. Amen? Because in Isaiah chapter 58 verse 1, the Bible says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin." Amen? That is our message. Our message is not to make everyone, be attend. We are to cry out, both on the pulpit, on the highways. We are not to spare anybody. We are to lift our voices like a trumpet, and we are to show the world, we are to show our members their transgression. Amen?
Now,
as a people, we believe that Christ is soon coming is indeed real. The coming King is at the door. Amen, church? The coming of Christ is not a mere story. The agents of our preparation should not just be an academic issue. The coming King is indeed at the door. We have a work to do, a message to share to the whole world. And that message is to prepare the people to meet the Lord. That message is to warn the world to turn away from their transgressions, to move towards righteousness, to forsake all manner son of sin. That is our message, because the coming King is indeed at the door. Amen.
In the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 12, that's our main text for today. Amos, chapter 4, verse 12.
Therefore,
the Bible reads,
this will I do unto you, O Israel. And because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
I'll read the text again. You are seeing it on the screen there.
Therefore, this will I do unto you, O Israel. This will I do unto you, O Avondale, O nation of Zambia, O nations in Africa, O nations in the world. And because I will do this, prepare to meet thy God.
Now, Amos is saying, this will I do unto you.
What is it that Amos is talking, that the Lord is going to do unto us? We may ask, exactly what is it that the Lord will do unto us? Because Amos is saying, therefore, this will I do unto you, O Israel. Now we are asking a question. What is it that the Lord will do unto us?
The answer to that question depends on which side you'll be at the time when Christ shall come.
That may either be positive or negative. The answer to this question will either be a good one or a bad one, depending on which side you'll be.
Are you following, church?
What the Lord will do when he shall come will depend on which side I will be, which side you'll be, which side everyone here will be.
Because of this, let's look at the negative part. Let's assume you'll be on the bad side. What will the Lord do? Joel chapter 1 verse 15.
The Bible says, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. This day, if you will not be on the side of Jesus, Joel was talking of a destruction. And in addition to what Joel is saying, I hear another prophet, Malachi, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
This will I do unto you.
If you are on the side of evil, my brother, my sister, there is coming some destruction. There is coming some burning.
You read further in Malachi there, they will be burnt until they are turned into ash. And that is why the Bible here is saying, it shall neither leave root or branch.
So, this is on the negative side. Let's look at on the positive side.
This day, because we are still trying to answer, what is Amos saying when he says, this will I do unto you?
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice here the Bible is saying in verse 16, the dead in Christ shall rise first.
This is what the Lord will do unto us.
Then we which will be found alive and remain so shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever.
Which side are you going to be?
Now, because the Lord is going to do these things to these two different classes of people. If you are a sinner, there is coming destruction. If you are a Christian, you are a child of God. Even if you die today, the Bible says the dead in Christ
shall rise first. Amen. I know we have received the agreement. Has lost her dear one. And we can only hope that that loss is not a loss for eternity. We can only hope that the brother and the sister died in the Lord. Amen. So our prayers are with. Amen.
Now, because the Lord is going to do these things to two different classes of people, therefore, we need to make a preparation. There is need that we prepare.
Now, if you are preparing for destruction, you are basically saying, I am going to finish the whole syllabus. Hallelujah, church.
It means you are making a decision to say, I will be on the side of the enemy. I'm going to follow the devil all the way.
Now, there's a sad news that we think that we can have one leg on the side of the devil and the other leg on the side of God. Read Revelation chapter 3. That's a state of lukewarm. The Bible says, I would that you were either cold or...
and not both.
It's either you are caught, meaning you are on the side of the enemy, meaning you have been preparing or you are preparing to be on the side of the devil, or you should prepare fully on the side of God. Amen? It can never be both ways.
Now, I want to assume that your preparation, you are considering it in the positive. Amen? Now, what is involved in this preparation? We are going to meet our Lord, because Amos is saying, therefore, this will I do unto you, O Israel. And then it ends by saying, therefore, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Now, what is involved in that preparation to meet our Lord? I want us to consider a case of a bride. We all know who a bride is. Amen, church?
We know who a bride is. Yes.
Almost most of our mothers who are married here were once bride. Correct? Amen, church? Let's consider a case of a bride who prepares to meet the would-be husband.
Now, this is a young lady. She's been brought up by her mother, and as she's growing right from childhood, the mother protects her, the mother begins to teach her, and as she's growing up, she, you know, into around 11 years, the mother begins, and you know, to caution this lady, to say, be careful who you associate with. There are some hungry lions here and there, and so be careful where you spend your free time. She's at school, she's cautioned the same way. Be careful who you associate with. And this young lady grows to around 15, 17 years, and the mother and other aunties and other relatives begin to tell her, one day you'll be married. And my daughter, my niece, as you prepare for marriage, you don't need to do this. You don't need to wear clothes like this. When you are in a company of men, you don't need to, you need to set these boundaries. When you are walking at night, you know, they will even caution you, don't move at night, they are dangerous, because some of these men can rape you. They will, you know, and the young lady is being prepared to be a wife. And the mother will continue to say, as you are growing, young lady, make sure you prepare your hair this way, you wash your body this way, keep your body clean this way, avoid all these, you know, strange things on your eyes, on your mouth, you know, because men, some of them would mistake you for a Jezebel. No, she's being prepared to be a good wife. Now, the preparation process involves do's and don'ts. Are we together, church? There will always be do's and don'ts. There will be a list of things that they are going to tell her, these you must not do, and there will be a list of things they will tell her, these you should do. And then as time is nearing, she finishes her college, she finishes her university, she starts working by God's design. And as she's working, the mother will say, now my daughter, I think it's the right time for you to get married. Then the daughter will also confound the mother. I think, mom, I have found what I think is Mr. X, Mr. Right. And as they are discussing all that, eventually you see a family visiting the parents who say, we want to ask you, your daughter to get married to our son. The preparation does not end there. When there is consent from both parents, when both parents have allowed the two to get married and the payment of Rahola, some parents may choose not to.
Amen, church. I don't know if you hear, choose not to get Rahola. There's some parents who haven't got the Rahola. Okay, maybe it's not Zambian.
Maybe it's not Zambian. Now, the preparation will go on. And then the wedding date is set, and the day of the wedding comes. I know you will do other things, kitchen party and all that, and other ceremonies. Now, on the day of the wedding, one thing I've not, and I know you have also not, this bride will wake up in the morning. She has a team of other ladies that are on the lineup. They will wake up, go to the saloon. She will prepare her hair nicely. She will do her dress, which is normally white.
Amen, church?
It's normally white, eh? Now, that white has a meaning. So she will put on that white dress, and she will make sure that, in fact, maybe some women take 2 or 3 times bathing that day before going to the saloon, and they dress up and put everything. They will do everything to make themselves very neat and presentable to the would-be husband. Am I lying, church?
Now, having considered that, I have a message for you. That message is the word of God. If a bride takes time to make a thorough preparation, if the bride takes time to remove all the dirty around our body, what more us who are supposed to go to heaven? Are we not supposed to remove all sin around our bodies?
Am I talking to something?
If the bride who is preparing for the earthly husband takes time to make sure she looks presentable, before the Holy One of Israel.
Now, I said, normally the bride would adorn herself with white garment, white wedding. Now, that white color, if you read Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, that white is a symbol of purity and innocence.
Are we together, church? White is a symbol of what? Purity and what? Innocence. You are saying, I am pure, I am a virgin, I have never slept with any other man, I have not committed fornication, I am pure and innocent. Are you pure and innocent?
If you know you have committed fornication, then you will lie before the church by wearing the white coat. You are not lying before the church, you are lying before God.
But what we are saying here, you need to do a thorough preparation. You need to cleanse yourself of all manner of sin. You must put away fornication. We must stop seeing blood in those toilets. We must stop seeing children committing fornication. Isn't it an embarrassment that our only youth here, we can be finding blood and parts of gonorrhea in our toilets? Isn't that embarrassing?
We need to do a thorough preparation. We must put away all manner of sin. We must discard fornication.
We must discard drinking, smoking even. Our own members here do drugs. They smoke and come on the Sabbath. They drink and they are here today. Where is the difference from us in the world? So we are saying, there is need that we do this thorough preparation. We must attain the levels of purity and innocence such that when God looks at us, He will say, yes, they are ready for me. The church today must do some preparation. The church today needs to be ready to receive our Savior. We must do thorough preparation. If you read the book of Ephesians chapter 5, 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then the verse 27 says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what?
Christ must present the church to himself at his coming.
And as he is presenting this church to himself and before his Father, he is going to say, here are they that followed me. Here are they that I died for. Here are they that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Here are they that followed my commandment. They are without spot. They are without wrinkle. They are without anything. They are holy without any blemish. Have you prepared enough?
Have we prepared?
That God can use these words in verse 27. And commenting on holiness, the spirit of prophets has these words. The echoes of God's voice comes to us, ever saying, holier, holier still. And ever our answer is to be, yes, Lord, holier still. Holiness is within the reach of all. Underline the word all there.
Holiness is within the reach of all who reach for it.
Not because of their own good work, but because of Christ's merit. Divine power is provided for every soul struggling for the victory over sin and Satan. So God has placed everything. He is saying there is divine power that will be given to everyone, every soul that is struggling for victory over sin and Satan. And the issue of holiness is attainable. Amen, church. Our ever answer is to be, yes, Lord, holiest. May the church stand. Forrester, that power is through Christ, even as he died on the cross. This divine power, which is given to all, is through Christ, even as he died on the cross. I'm saying, you are standing or seated in this church. You know you need to make a thorough preparation. You know you need to be ready as a bride should be for the groom. If you are there, my brother, I'm not going to ask you to come here. Just raise your hand. You want us to pray that as we are waiting for the coming Savior, God should help you to put away all manner of sin. There is divine power at you. Just raise your hand because we are about to pray. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father. Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Your word, Heavenly Father, is power. Your word is life. Life even unto our own souls. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are coming again. You will not abandon us forever. The problems we go through in this world will not be forever. The sicknesses of this world will not be forever. The deaths that we experience, even the death in Sister Miova's family, will not be forever. Father, we invite you now. In the book of Amos, when you shall be coming, you are going to do something. There is coming destruction to the sinners. Father, I pray that none of these here should be destroyed. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone who is still walking in sin, if there is someone who has not yet accepted you as your personal Savior, Lord, help such a one. Cleanse us, Lord. Make us pure and innocent. Father, I pray, remove every spot, every wrinkle of sin in our lives. And Heavenly Father, when you shall come, we'll be without blemish. I pray, Lord, when the trumpet shall sound, and as you come with a host of angels from heaven, Father, I pray that when the trumpet shall sound, if all of us here will be found dead, may we hear your voice. I pray that, Heavenly Father, when the trumpet shall sound, if some amongst us here will be found alive, Father, may we hear your voice. I also pray that, Lord, even those that are not here, those that we have left in our homes, as you are blessing us with this word, Father, I pray that may you meet them at their point of need. Father, I pray that may you impart salvation to their souls. Let them accept you as a person. I also pray for the sick that are here, that, Lord, may you touch them in a special way. Heal us, Heavenly Father, because by your stripes we are healed. I pray, Lord, for those that are orphans. Father, it was only a desire to have lost one of their parents or even both of their parents. Father, I pray that may you be their father. May you be the mother of the orphans. I pray for the widows in our church and in the community. Provide for their needs. Provide for their children. Father, I pray. Meet all of us at our point. Everything shall be said and done. Remember each and every one of us in your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Even as the chorus continues.